Anyone have a favorite shloka there that sticks in your mind every time you read it? That's one of my favorites too. Why is that your favorite?
Because I saw that.
You saw the place. You went there just last year. Nice. Well, hopefully next year we can all come with you. Or this year. Everyone who wants to go with Srinivas Prabhu up to see Srila Vyasadeva's place, raise your hand. Okay. I would like to go. Anybody else have a favorite verse out of all those shlokas? What do you like? Yeah? Give him the microphone. He'll explain why he likes this verse so much. Yes.
Yeah, this is the 1-18 Nashta Prayeshu Abdreshu Nityam Bhagavata Seveya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhagavati Nashtaki. And the translation is, by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering the service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, whose praise with transcendental song is established as an irrevocable fact. I like it. It's a follow-up to the previous verse where it is saying that Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, purifies one's heart when one hears his messages. We were talking earlier about the need to chant. One of the effects of chanting is that it purifies the heart, because the heart is contaminated with the dust of material contamination. It has been said it's like this mirror, that you cannot see yourself well because the mirror has all this dust in it. So in order to see clearly, one has to remove that dust. And that dust can be removed by chanting and by also hearing Krishna's messages. And it is saying that previous verse that Krishna himself will help when you do this, that he is going to help you to remove that dust. So this is a further follow-up, that after chanting and hearing Krishna's messages, if one then hears from the Bhagavatam and renders service to the devotee, everything that is then troublesome in the heart is reduced, and it puts one then in this mode of goodness. And I like it because the verse after that gives you the formula of how to arrive into the mode of goodness. One actually arrives into the mode of goodness by practicing these processes, which are chanting, hearing the messages of Krishna, hearing from the Bhagavatam, rendering service to the devotees. And that would put then one in the state of goodness, because after that, the next state is this transcendental platform.
Boy, now I like those verses too. What else? Anybody have another verse that they really like that you just can't live without? Once you hear it, it just drives you wild. These verses are Krishna. They're fully transcendental. So if you associate with them, if you think about them, you have them start going through your mind. Repetition is the mother of learning. So if you find one special verse here, write it down. Put it on a card and put it in your pocket. Who can stop you? No one can stop you. You can go right down to Office Depot and get your own cards and a pen. And the government can't stop you. Even if they put you in jail, you can still write it on a card. And the jail keeper can come by, but he can't stop you. You have a right to do that. You can write it on a card. You can put it in your pocket, and you can look at it as many times as you want during the day. And that verse is Krishna. It's non-different from Krishna. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nikshekshaya Lokasya Dandam Sastayana Mahat. It means it's Krishna. It's non-different. It's got everything there. And it's the source of all perfection, all happiness. Everything comes from the Bhagavatam. Any other favorite verse? Speak now, forever hold your peace. You can declare it to the world. We won't tell anybody else outside how crazy you are about a specific verse in this. Yes, Malini. I knew she was dying to tell us. Go ahead, Malini. Give her the microphone. We want everyone in the kitchen to hear, too.
You also like the same verse which Lakshmi said. Yes. And the thing I like about this verse is that it says classes on Bhagavatam, just classes on Bhagavatam. So every time I come to the Bhagavatam class, I could feel that all my troubles have gone just by coming to the classes. And the thing I like about it says that rendering service to the devotees, you get the taste to serve Krishna. So the first step is to serve devotees. Then by serving devotees, you get a taste to serve Krishna. So if you come to a class, you get to be some service to the devotees. And then once you get service to devotees, then you know.
Thank you very much. Very nice. Yeah, this is another important point she's bringing out about attending classes on the Bhagavatam means in the association of devotees. If we hear, it's especially powerful because when we're in the association of devotees, first of all, we hear things from many different angles. Prabhupada used to say, come together and discuss these things thoroughly, threadbare, and from different angles of seeing. Because the more we hear the philosophy and understand it completely, a siddhanta means to understand not just what something is, but also what it isn't. It means that we come to a very clear understanding of who we are, what our relationship with Krishna is, and how his energies are working. And that happens especially in the association of devotees, just like this Srimad Bhagavatam is taking place at Naimasaranya. And this assembly of devotees is asking Suta Goswami to explain the Bhagavatam. And of course, it's reflected also at the conversation Shukadeva Goswami had with all the sages who came to the bank of the Ganga. And there, again, there's an assemblage of many different kinds of people. But Prabhupada mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita many times in his purports about how powerful it is to come into the association of devotees and have discussion of spiritual topics. And then you hear others' realizations, you hear others' doubts, and those doubts get removed in that assembly also. Someone will say, something, I have a doubt about this, and then someone else, they have faith or they have some realization, something they've gained. Because this Bhagavatam is like an ocean, and every time you dive deep within it, you come out with some jewel. And then you get wealthy, actually. You keep bringing jewels out from that ocean, and you have some capital in spiritual life. But you have to dive deep. Say, we learned this example about chanting the holy name when we were at the Japa retreat, about how it's the chanting of the holy name is like an ocean. And if you dive deep within it, there's all kinds of mysterious jewels inside that you'll have no idea till you get there what they are, then you can bring them back. If you don't go deep enough and you just skim the surface every day, then after a while you think, oh, there's nothing there. And then you say, well, why should I do that? It's more interesting to watch, American Idol or something like that. There's more like wealth in this for me. There's more value. This is what happens to the jiva, actually, is because we're small, we see the variety of the material world and we think, oh, there's something in it. But it's only a reflection, Krishna says. There's nothing really in it because it's changing. You can't really get a hold of it. The real variety is there in the spiritual world. But from our position now, we have to dive deep to get it. And that is a labor of love. In order to chant japa properly, you have to concentrate. You have to chant with love. You have to chant with some prayer and feeling. And sometimes you may not feel like that. But if you do it, that's like you put on your scuba gear. You come down and you jump in and you go deep within. And same with the Bhagavatam. So in the association to devotees, it makes it a lot easier to go deep. You have allies. And this destroys all the doubts and it gives us a very powerful realization. Srila Prabhupada once said that God helps those who help themselves means, helping yourself means putting yourself in front of transcendental sound vibration. So if you could just get yourself up from where you are now and move yourself, as of course preaching to the choir, but if I can pick myself up wherever I am and move myself into the assembly of devotees who are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, That's enough. That's enough. If I can just park myself there and here, then I'll become purified. The heart will become purified. And Malini brought up this service. We talked about this last Wednesday night, about service and what the power of it is. There's an exchange. The living force, really, the jiva soul is a unit of serving energy. That's what we do. We serve all the time. And when it's covered by maya, when it's covered by matter, we serve all kinds of things that are not beneficial. But Krishna says, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam. Serve me, and I'm the root. You'll be satisfied by service to me. So that serving energy, if we direct our serving energy towards Krishna, then we become very much satisfied. And so the service, when you render service to another devotee who has superior knowledge in Krishna consciousness, like Rupa Goswami, it says, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranitibhisya bhajantamisham shushushaya bhajana vignyamananyamanya nindari shunya hridyam ipsita sangalabhya. You should search out that kind of association of devotees who don't have any kind of malice in their heart. They have love for Krishna in their heart, and he describes it as find someone who is nindadi shunya. Ninda means to criticize others in a malicious way. Not in a practical way, but in a malicious way because I'm envious of them. Because I think I'm my body, and I see someone else, and I think, well, why do they have it? Why shouldn't I got it? Well, some people win the lottery these days. You know what happens? All their relatives become envious. Why did they get it? Why shouldn't I have had it? And this is the nature of the material world. Why did he get it? Why shouldn't I get it? But a person who's free from that, from practicing Krishna consciousness in nindadi shunya, that tendency in the heart to criticize others, to try to pull other people down, is not there. Nindadi shunya hridam ipsita sangalabhya. You should gain their association as much as possible and do service, Rupa Goswami says. Do service to such devotees who have that aptitude for helping others, for showing kindness to all living beings, to serving without any kind of malice or criticism in their heart. Then, by that kind of service, if you render service, you develop a relationship with devotees like that, and you serve them, then they'll feel obligated to you. They'll feel gratitude towards you. And as mentioned in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the reason that Suta Goswami is being exalted by the sages in Naimasaranya, he said, you've gained the favor of all your spiritual masters because of your gentle nature. Because your gentle nature, you've gone and you've rendered service to your spiritual masters very nicely. And that's why you understand the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why you're qualified to sit here and speak about Srimad Bhagavatam, because you've rendered service properly previously. It's not an academic pursuit. It is a pursuit where it's a matter of the heart, and Krishna is in the heart, and he loves his devotees. And if we serve his devotees properly, as Malini was bringing up, and we develop this relationship with those kinds of devotees, then Krishna especially becomes pleased and blesses us, helps us even more. Mahatsevam dwara mahurva muktes. It means if we render service to the Mahatmas, it opens the door to liberation. And who opens the door to liberation? Mukunda, Krishna. Because he sees our service to the devotees. So, nice verses to remember today. Nashta prayeshu bhadreshu. Abhadra, things that are not auspicious, they become eliminated from our lives by association with these shlokas. Hearing these shlokas. Anybody else? One last chance to have a crack at this? Yes, Prabhuji.
Oh, Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality.
Give him the microphone, he'll explain.
So here Krishna himself is saying that if it is without relation to him, has no reality. And he says that it is my illusory energy that reflects which appears to be Vrindavan. So this verse inspires me, and it explains to me that whatever appears to be of any value, you know, it's just a reflection. And a reflection, I remember a story which said that the jewel was there in the pond, And I mean, its reflection was there in the pond, and everyone was trying and going and, you know, trying to get that jewel. But when it went inside the pond, it was not there. Right? So one intelligent person can understand that actually it was a reflection, and the jewel is there on the branch of the tree. So we understand is that whatever that you talk, that variety, whatever variety we are seeing is just a reflection. If you try to go and get it, it's not there. So like this, you know, was cleans up.
And you can tell by the smile on your face how much you enjoy that verse, too. No, it's relishable. So this is part of being in the association of devotees. It's because it reflects back to you when you say, ask a question. What do you like? Which part of Krishna do you like? Which shloka do you like? And then you actually, there's something that's tangible that, you know, when we see his face, how much he's enjoying this verse and the realization he has, that builds something also. Then we go, yeah, there is something in that verse. I could see it in his face and the inflection of his voice. These things are powerful. It's part of association, hearing from devotees. Machita magata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantashchamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita that this is how devotees associate. Machitta magata prana. Their whole life is dedicated to me. It's like they're giving their life for me. Their minds are always absorbed in me, and they're discussing amongst each other about my pastimes. And they're preaching to each other. Bodhayantasparam, bodhayantaparashparam. Amongst themselves, they bring up little, you know, all kinds of little things about Krishna. That's one of my favorite verses too. That verse is from the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. Did you know Srimad Bhagavatam was originally spoken in 4 verses? And it expanded to 18,000. It was originally 4 verses, and that's one of them. Ritirtam yat pratiyeta. That was spoken by Krishna to Brahma. And of course, just like a zip file, it comes open, you know, you put it in a little folder and you open it up and it's like, wow, there's 18,000 verses. And that's not all. There's many, many more. But the spiritual sound vibration expands. And we experience that here, too. When in our lives, if we take a little service, especially chanting Hare Krishna seriously, then it'll expand in our lives. And today is the appearance day of Varahadev. He expanded. Krishna comes in all kinds of ways that we can't expect. So we can't expect, because Krishna is the supreme autocrat. He's completely independent. He can come to us in any way. We may have a preconceived conception. It's like, I'm going to chant today and he's going to appear to me no matter what in this way. No, we can't force Krishna into our mind. We can only with a service. So Brahma, he was meditating on Krishna for help in the universe. And how did Lord Varaha appear to Brahma? Where did he come from? Came out of his nose. Krishna can come out of your nose. You don't know. I mean, we're thinking he's here, he's there. He says, Krishna's... Ruby Mataji has just returned. Haribo! We were practically dead, but now we're coming alive again. Welcome back. Thank you for coming back. I was praying every day. Anyways, this Varaha appeared from the nose of Brahma. And then what happened after he came out of the nose? Huh?
Expanded.
Give the microphone. Gaurang Kishore has come from Vrindavan Dham. Govardhan, tell us just anything, a little bit about something more about Lord Varaha.
He started expanding.
This is a good point. Expanding. Krishna, spiritual energy, Krishna, he expands. He has unlimited potencies. We said this verse before, Om Purnam Adap Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachate. He's completely perfect, and everything emanates from him. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. Everything we see in the universe, every potential energy and every seed, Krishna says, and the sound that's in ether, and the taste in water, everything is expanded from his potencies. And even though it expands unlimitedly, like there's unlimited universes, actually. You can't count them all. You can't count how many universes there are. It's so unlimited. You can't count how many living entities there are. It's unlimited. You can't even count how many leaves there are in a tree. Did you know that? Maybe you hire a corporation. They can spend 10 years trying to nail it down, how many leaves are on a tree. But even one tree in your garden, you can't count how many leaves are on that tree. So Krishna's energies are unlimited, but it doesn't limit him when he expands them. The more he expands, he stays complete in and of himself. So when he comes as Lord Varaha, he comes, he appears out of the nostril of Lord Brahma. And everyone's going, what is that? And what form was he in? Tell us about the form of Varaha. Anything?
In the form of a boar.
He was in the form of a boar. Wow. Yes. Yeah. Give her the microphone so they can hear in the kitchen.
I go to Navadvip Dham in Mayapur, I'm always amazed because when I go to any temple where there is a beautiful deity with Varahadev, because he's there in association with the Dham, I think he's protecting the Dham in a way. And also, it makes sense, the Dham is always flooding there too. But I'm always amazed at how, even in the form of a boar, Lord Krishna, in his form of Lord Varahadev, can be so beautiful. Like the deity, like these deities, I remember meditating on the beautiful features, his lotus hands, his snout, his tusks, his lotus feet, and
lotus hooves.
Right. I remember being amazed at how even in the form of a boar, Lord Krishna can take any form and be the most beautiful.
Most beautiful. Yes.
Because generally we don't think of a boar as being so beautiful, but because he's Krishna, he's taking the form of a boar and that form is beautiful.
Thank you. Very nice. The sages also, when Lord Boar appeared, and he was flying through the air. Also, of course, we neglected to tell, when he appeared, he fought it out with Hiranyaksha. They had a big fight. It was a huge battle. They were fighting with maces and back and forth. And when Lord Boar was fighting with them, of course, he made it interesting. And the demigods were watching. And, at one point, he dropped his club. Right, and there was fighting back and forth, and the demigods were thinking, "Oh no, maybe, because they weren't sure exactly." I mean, they say the boar appear. This must be Vishnu, how he's expanding and everything like that. But still, they're not sure. And the fight goes on, and finally, Lord Boar just slapped Hiranyaksha in the back of the back of the ear. Must be some karate move. And he smacked him like that, and it killed him, and. All the demigods were very happy because Hiranyaka was a demon. He was up to no good. He and his brother were just going all over the universe, just trying to ruin things and causing havoc in everyone's life. But when Lord Boar flew over, he, like some boars, they have water on them and they shake their... And wherever he shook, some of the hairs from his bodies came off and, the kusha grass grew up from that, all auspicious kusha grass. So even the form of the boar like that is all transcendental, completely transcendental body, and it's purifying. And he is a great protector. He came to lift the earth out of the nether regions of the universe. It had become pushed down due to the demoniac activities of big demons who were, pulling gold and all kinds of things and just ruining the earth. And it fell out of its axis and was lying in the nether regions of the universe. So the Lord Boar picked it up. And saved it, brought it back. The earth planet is mentioned in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very important place. We're in midway in the universe. There are planets going downward, equal number, planets going upward. We're right in the middle in this Bhu-loka. And here, things aren't so hellish that you can't concentrate. Almost. Hellish, because the Kali Yuga is so hellish that you can't concentrate. But it's also not so heavenly that you can't concentrate either. It's right in the middle. Like in Hawaii, they have this joke about how they've had more temple presidents there than any other temple in the on the planet. It's hard for everyone to concentrate over there because it's so heavenly. So you can see the Earth planet's sort of situated midway, and Lord Bohr saved that planet and brought it up and to its proper position. So Krishna's our protector. He can appear to us in any way, and we don't know how he's going to appear in our lives. But we should be ready to serve him and to go on, you know, with our service in all kinds of circumstances, and just know that Krishna will come. Especially, we're going out today for preaching in Sankirtan. It's a invigorating activity, because no matter how many times you've done it, you just don't know what's going to happen the next time, isn't it? Like, we've been out so many times, and you can't predict what's going to happen at Santa Cruz today when we go down there, right? We're all ready to go?
Yes. We have to get books.
We have to get books? Okay. We'll try to get out a little earlier today. And also, you go to Walmart. What are some of the... We're going to Walmart's today?
Yes.
Who's going to Walmart's?
Well, I've been scheduled there to... The
You're scheduled at Walmart. All right. Have you been there before?
I believe so, yes.
Do you know what's going to happen when you get there today?
Not really.
See? This is a case in point. We don't know what's going to happen when we go out there. And who else is going someplace? What other spots do we have today? Yes,
Prabhupada.
Where are you going? Cash and Carry. You've been there before? That's the Cash and Carry team, the power team down there. So, what's going to happen when you get out there today? Huh? Can't predict. See? It's unpredictable. So this is exciting. We can't predict what's going to happen today. But just like Lord Bohr appeared out of the nostril of Brahma, anything can happen. We don't know, you know, how Krishna will appear to us today, but we go and render service. And we're dependent on him, right? We go and we render this service because we've heard. We're hearing from the acharyas. We hear from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita that you should preach this message. You know, make it available to people. We understand something about that, that is important. We have our own realization, how we've read it and it's changed our lives. So now we want to go out and give it to other people. But we just don't know what's going to happen. So what should we do? How to prepare ourselves for this? Any suggestions? How should we properly prepare ourselves today? What kind of things should we do or think or say? Malini, give us some advice. Give her the microphone, she can start us off. Then Ramaswamy can tell us something too, because he's smiling like anything. Tell us how to get ready, Malini, for this great adventure today, and how we're going to, you know, give mercy to the living beings, and how should we think, how should we act?
Jim, from the email which you sent out, that get mercy, from that what I thought was, first we should pray for the mercy ourselves, from God we can have that. Mm. And then try to distribute that mercy to others. Because, as you said in the email, there's a great opportunity for us to go and give out this mercy. Like, what we can let in the door to the world, and at the Walmart or any place. Try to get mercy first, and then try to give out that mercy.
Okay, so each person, when you give your advice, leave us with a sutra. So her sutra, she was saying at the end, something like, give mercy, get... Go ahead, you say it.
Get mercy and give mercy.
Okay. Give mercy, get mercy?
Get mercy and give mercy.
Get mercy, give mercy. Okay, so that's one. Who's writing them down? Let's just collect these. Could someone jot these down? Vinky? He's our PhD. Okay, so get mercy, give mercy. That's one sutra we can take with us today, or any other day.
Yes.
Okay, so put both on there. That's a nice sutra because it could work either way. You can go backwards or forwards. Give mercy, get mercy. It means a different thing almost. That by going out and trying to give some benefit to other people, that you'll also get great benefit. Or, as Malini was saying, fortify yourself first. By praying for the mercy, get the mercy, and then you'll be in the mood to go out and give the mercy. Get mercy, give mercy. Give mercy, get mercy. Okay, Ramaswamy was next. Give him the microphone, he's got it. Okay.
Today we are going in the mood of Nityananda Prabhu.
That means we are not going to distinguish between who is fit or who do not fit. Even within ourselves, even if we do, if we feel that oh, this person cannot be interested in taking this book, we still have to approach him and do our best to distribute books to everyone without any distinction.
Ooh, very powerful yoga. This is powerful yoga because the mind wants to accept and reject everything. And especially when we go out to give mercy and get mercy, we go out and the mind will say, no, not this one, that one, this one, that one. But so Ramaswamy is advising us not to make any distinction. Can you make a sutra? If at last resort you can't make a sutra, we'll ask Akurnath and he'll come up with something for us. He'll be our last resort. But you go ahead, Ramaswamy, give us the sutra that Venki can write down.
Distribute books to everyone without any consideration or distinction.
Does that meet the... Let's ask our Sanskrit scholar, Karan Kishore, if that meets the qualifications of being a sutra.
A little too long.
Okay. Akurnath, can you edit it for us? Give us a sutra for Ramaswamy's point.
Distributing the mood of Nityananda. Then you have to know a little bit about what that mood is. But
okay, like let's ask a Sanskrit scholar if it qualifies. He said yes. Distributed the mood of Nityananda.
In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the description of Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda going, and Lord Nityananda saying, let's approach Jagai and Madhai. And Haridas Thakur is thinking, you know, this is crazy. And then when they get attacked the first time and they're running away, you know, Haridas is saying, see, I told you. But they went back, you know, because Lord Nityananda's mood was like that.
Well, how about the fellow last night? I don't know what it is about the Harinam party that attracts drunk people that like to chant the holy name, but it happens almost 90% of the time when we go there. They're attracted like a moth to a flame or something. You know, these fellows, the guy last night came and he just immediately when he came out, first he wanted to tell us some equation about this moonlight or the starlight reaching the earth and stuff. And then he couldn't stop chanting the whole night. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Louder, louder, he was saying. Come on, louder. He was there for hours. Ruby Mataji?
Yeah, I was...
And then Rakshit had one too. Go ahead.
I was thinking that maybe we should make a slogan like distribute to every Jagai and Madhai.
Okay, put that down. distribute to every Jagai Madhai. We were singing Jagai Madhai's glories last night too when our friend came and, you know, was doing his drunken rendition of the Jagai Madhai thing. And they were exemplary devotees after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had saved them. And especially was Madhai who had struck Lord Nityananda on the head. And he was especially mortified after he had been saved because he realized that he had injured the transcendental body of the Lord. And he, weeping and weeping and weeping, he was in this repentant attitude, and he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically how he could atone for what he had done. And he told him that you go and you make a nice bathing ghat for all the citizens. They can come and they can bathe in Mother Ganga in a nice way. So with his own hands, he went and did all this labor to build this beautiful bathing ghat. And all the devotees and people would come there and bathe in Mother Ganga, and he did that service to help rectify himself. And he was known as such a great devotee. Both Jagai and Madhai were renowned. And in fact, they're listed as branches of the Chaitanya tree, the Jagai and Madhai. So in our non-distinguishing mood today, realizing that Chaitanya Nitai's mercy is unlimited, the way Krishna expands his potencies all over the world and they're unlimited, when he comes as Chaitanya Nitai, specifically, he's giving out, he's expanding this mercy potency to everybody. And he doesn't qualify or disqualify anyone. He just, they go out and indiscriminately give as much mercy as possible to everybody. So that's a nice point, Ruby Mataji. Thank you very much. You made it back just in time to get your sutra in. Okay, Rakshit Prabhu.
The one telling point yesterday about this drunkard who was chanting is that after you had finished one session, then he went on his own. And he was saying, Hare, 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 Hare. So Veer Krishna Prabhu was standing next to me, said,
he seems to have got this now.
Nice, nice.
Yes, with respect to Sankirtan, the thoughts that go through my mind is that in these classes we pick up the sound vibration, we receive the sound vibration, as well as we receive spiritual knowledge to awaken ourselves. So we should pass that on. Receive the vibration, pass it on. Receive spiritual knowledge, pass it on.
So okay.
Awaken souls.
And is that the sutra?
Yes.
Okay. Receive the vibration, pass it on. Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine.
Receive the vibration, pass it on. Akurnath?
Have one pointed attention.
Have one pointed attention. Very nice. This is a kind of yoga. We go on Sankirtan, whether we're going on Harinam Sankirtan or we're going out to distribute books. If we, there's two moods we can go in. You can go in and space out. You know, look around at the signs, get bewildered. It's noisy on the street. Really noisy. You don't notice it unless you measure it against some quiet place, but it's very noisy, and there's all kinds of noises that are coming by you, and there's all kinds of distractions. So in the midst of that, we have to stay very focused on our thinking of Krishna and thinking of our service and not succumb to the external energy. It's like when we go in Harinam, it's much more powerful when the devotees concentrate on hearing the holy name. You don't have to do anything else but just make sure that you're hearing the holy name. You're serving the holy name by your intelligence and by your, you know, hearing process. And if all the devotees in the group do that rather than looking around or noticing, you know, oh, there's Pizza My Heart. And, oh, look, when did they open that restaurant? And, oh, look at that couple over there. You know, like that kind of thing. If the mind just goes here, there, and everywhere, you don't get the potency as much as if you focus with a one-pointed attention. And same thing on book distribution. Remember your goal when you go out to give mercy. And not that we also have to be just like a kind of dry or anything like that. Like we can't talk to anybody. But one way to do that, to keep the one-pointed attention that I've noticed on Sankirtan, in fact, the easiest way for me, is to keep the Maha Mantra going. Because tendency is like, say you sell a book and then you want to go over and tell your buddies, look, I just sold a book, you know, and you go on and on. But better thing is, you just keep chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Don't go way up off the charts. You know, someone just gave you $50 for a set of books and get all, you know, just keep chanting. Stay in your samadhi state. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Mani. And then someone else tells you, why don't you go, you know, what? Get a job.
Get a job.
Or something like that. He says, thank you very much. I'll go look right away. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And keep chanting. Stay in this mood. Krishna recommends this, you know, evenness. Evenness. This is yoga. Don't go way up. Don't go way down. Stay right on this mantra, the holy name. We see it at Govardhan. There's these people that they ride on the mantra around the Govardhan Hill. And you could be walking really fast, you know, around Govardhan, like you think you're moving really fast mechanically. Then there'll be like these three old guys, you know, coming, and you hear them chanting these mantras coming, you know, like in unison, and they're locked into these mantras, you know. Rade, rade, shamalade, shamalade, rade, shamalade. It's like a train coming after you. You see they're like barely moving, and you're going faster and faster, and they're coming, rade, rade, shamalade, and then whoosh, they go right past you, you know, and it's like the mantra carries them around the hill, and it's like they're in this bubble, you know, with the holy name. So we should be like that too. The holy name's powerful, and we're going to serve the holy name, so we should pray to the holy name for this potency to remain protected like that. And Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then whatever, you know, things come to make us flinch, we will have unflinching devotional service. And this is the nice thing about Sankirtan too. Unflinching devotional service means if you have more causes, things that are causing you to flinch, then you'll know whether you're unflinching or not. Just like in Prabhupada's word-for-word explanation of this word, vimanyavak suridaksadavo ye, in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, vimanyavak specifically is a qualification for a saintly person, for a devotee, for someone who's aspiring for devotional service. And what is it? It's that you should preach Krishna consciousness without becoming angry at others. Ooh, that's difficult. If you become angry, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, your eyes become polluted, your chest becomes polluted. So to stay beyond anger, this is something, you know, only great yogis can do. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, by staying absorbed in the holy names, we can preach without becoming angry or disturbed. Okay, what else? Did we get a sutra out of that? Let's have a couple more. Hare Krishna. Jai. The knower of the Vedas is here. So, any more? How to prepare ourselves? A goodwill ambassador. Be a goodwill ambassador. Give him the microphone because he'll tell us something more about his realization. Chandra. Have you had some instance where you met somebody, you left them with a good impression, some things you can remember of how that goes for you when you're out there? How do you do that? How do you leave people with a good impression? I mean, what is the essence of being a goodwill ambassador when you're out there? Let's just talk about this a little bit. He's saying we should be goodwill ambassadors. We should leave everyone with a good impression. Yes? Yes. So Siddhanta means not just what something is, it's also what something isn't. We went right in the middle. So this, we're going to get the Siddhanta from these two.
I know two cases of two people working in the same company. They came somewhere and they were fortunate to come across book distributors. So it went like this for one person. Hare Krishna, we have these spiritual books. Okay, good, thanks. This is for $2. Okay, so that person gave $10 offered out of his pocket. So the question that was asked him, do you want the change back? Instead of giving the change back automatically, he was asked, do you want the change back? Then he looked at him and said, okay, no. But then he went back and told everybody in his office that this is what happened. They would automatically give the change back, but the change was not given back automatically.
Good,
so
that's a good
example.
In the
same company, there was another person who also went to some other place, and he was fortunate to come across some book distributors. And this person was asked, can you look at our books? He says, no, I'm in a rush. And then this person was going towards his car in the parking lot, but this person who was offering the book went chasing him. And he actually persistently chased him so bad that he actually annoyed him. Mm. And then he went and told. So these two guys got together in the office and then they told everybody. Now they have got the critical mass to discuss this topic. And they went around telling everybody, we should be careful. They just go persistently after them. And then the other guy says, oh, they don't even give the change back. And then the story is built up after them.
They had their own sutras.
Yes.
Okay, go. And now Chandra will give the how to avoid these types of things, the other side, to bring the Siddhanta. What should our mood be?
We should approach them with our humbleness to start with. And most of the time when we talk or preach, it's not that every time they take the book. Most of the time we may fail to actually hand over the book, and we should leave them with a good impression and say, thank you very much for stopping by. Things like that. And
that's a good point. Can I just illuminate that a little bit? Words, we have our words, right? So one thing is we can leave people with some good words. If someone says, I don't want a book, or I don't have time right now, or something like that, we can say, it was really nice to meet you anyway. Thanks for taking your valuable time. We can leave everybody with a little something. Not if somebody doesn't want to take, we just turn away and go to somebody else. But what's our first goal when we go on book distribution? What's the first goal? Goodwill ambassador. And the first goal of the goodwill ambassador is to? Leave everyone with a good impression. What's the first goal of the goodwill ambassador?
Leave everyone with a good impression.
Could everyone say it?
Leave everyone with a good impression.
So the first goal isn't that everyone has to get a book. The first goal is that everyone, we should leave everyone with a good impression. That makes life easier. Because if you go out with that goal and think, how can I leave each person with a good impression? You'll be in a kind of a space where, you know, people will want to deal with you. You'll leave the atmosphere so clean. When you meet the next person, they'll see it in your eyes that you're out there as a goodwill ambassador. So go ahead.
You just pretty much covered it.
Sorry.
As I was saying, like most of the time, it's not that we will be successful in giving out the book, but the very fact that they touched the book and they gave it back to us, but they still have that inclination to take the book on their hand and feed the book. And we can always have a great hope that they will come back soon.
That's a good point. If they touch the book, or they something that's okay. But even if they don't touch the book, if they're just in a hurry and you don't even come within 10 yards of them and they give you, I'm in a hurry sign, if you release them and let them go, that also creates goodwill. I mean, the soul is very perceptive. Little Jiva knows what's going on in the environment. He can pick up all kinds of subtle things from across the street. He can see, you know, how people are moving and what their intention is. That's how powerful the Jiva is. So our hearts should be clean when we go out. We don't have any fruitive motive here because none of us we're not going out for our own profit or benefit. We're all handing in all the Lakshmi that we're collecting. We're not becoming glorified because of the scores, because it's all a team score, right? And so we don't have any of these motives, you know, for any personal thing. So if we keep the motive with each person to, you know, leave them with a good impression, that even if it's from across the street, you know, that impression will carry over. Thank you. And we should be very much conscious that this is part of the process of, this is the yoga, to leave everyone with a good impression, to go out in that mood as a goodwill ambassador. And that's what we want. We're not as interested in quantity as we are in quality, because quality eventually will expand into quantity anyway. So look for quality exchanges with people and see that, you know, examine yourself. Don't be fruitive. Don't worry about, you know, that they took the book or not. Worry about how you left them. That's the most important thing. Yes, Narahari Dave Prabhu.
When we go out, if we also have this mood that we are representing Guru and Krishna, and, you know, as their servants, then that can... Being just reminding ourselves of that mode can also help when we're on Sankirtan to be a goodwill ambassador. Yesterday evening, when I was distributing one book, I ran into one person. At the first moment, he was very favorable. I mean, looking at him, I knew he was very spiritually minded. And then he said that he was a Catholic. Then I told him that if you're a Catholic, you'd definitely like to read something like this. So immediately he took out a dollar, he took the book, and then he was about to leave, and then I think just at that time we started chanting. So he came back and he said, "Are you the Hare Krishnas?" I said, "Yes." So he said, "I would like to give your book back." I was shocked, because, you know, when I looked at him, he sounded like a really spiritually minded person. And I said, "I'm so sorry to hear that." So I asked him, "Would you like your donation back?" So he said, "No, I gave it with a good heart, and I would like to keep it that way." And he said, "I had a bad experience with my son. He
there was some problem associated, which he mentioned. So I said, is there any way anything I can do to help? And he said, no. He just said that, I think you really are doing a good job, so please continue doing that. But for me, because of that bad experience, I'd like to distance myself. I said, but I still want to give that donation. So when he said that, I felt like at least whatever bad experience he had, but at least I tried to do something, mm-hmm. ask him, encourage him any way I could help. So
this is very good. See, this is the idea of leaving people with a good impression. And, you know, part of the essence of that is if we are a little detached from the result, if the result is we want to leave them with a good impression. So if they come back and say, for instance, I didn't know what this was, you know, take it back or something like that. What Narahari Prabhu did was to, just release them. Don't fight them on something and say, no, it's for your own benefit. You should have taken it, you know. Or think, you know, well, if he keeps it, that's for his benefit, even if he's mad for right now. No. We think that, for now, my first goal is to leave them with a good impression, you know, so that they're happy. That comes first before anything. And then the other parts will come into play. Hansapriya. It's a very good point. I know when I'm walking down the street and there's somebody that wants to approach me, there's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that says, if a person knows how hard it is to beg, they would always donate to beggars. And if a person knows how hard it is to give, then they would never beg. So be aware of the fact that, you know, other people have the same feelings that we do, and that when we're approaching people, approach them the way you'd like to be approached. And we cannot be condescending and think that just because we have something that's beneficial, we have to, you know, force it on them for their own good. But actually, when you release people, it actually attracts them more. For instance, some years ago, I started telling people, when I asked for a donation for the book, I say, you know, you don't have to do this if you don't want to. I'll still give you the book. But some people are giving donations to help with the printing costs, to help us spread this around the world. And it's also said that when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, you get 1,000 times the benefit. It's an ancient law called Sukriti. But you keep the book anyway, even if you don't give. So it's up to you. If you'd like to give something, you know, go ahead. And I found that by releasing people from the obligation, saying you can have it either way, that when they make their own choice, it's a powerful thing, because actually, you know, the living entity has some free will, and he can decide based on your presentation whether he wants to do it or not. But I found that people are more willing to give, and they're happier when they're released from the obligation that they have to give. And in all circumstances, if we can look to release them from some obligation where we're trying to, you know, make them feel like they're trapped or something like that, then things go a lot nicer. Yes, Akurinath.
I'd like to propose a sutra that we're sharing something wonderful.
Nice.
You know, sometimes we get in the mood that we're going to defeat them or convince them, or if someone approaches us that we're wrong, we feel like, no, you're wrong, you know. But if we're in the mood that we just have found this some wonderful thing and we have the great privilege of being able to share it with those who are willing to take it, then we leave everyone with a good impression.
Very nice. Thank you. Okay, Venki, can you sum up for us what you've written there? And then we'll have Guru Puja. And then we can go out for Sankirtan. There'll be a breakfast this morning. It's a fasting day till 12 o'clock noon. except for if you're going on Sankirtan, it's okay to take some prasadam before you go out. It's also Ekadashi today. So the reason we're fasting till noon is because tomorrow is Varaha's appearance day. And we can't fast tomorrow because today's Ekadashi. And we have to follow Ekadashi. And in order to follow Ekadashi properly, you have to break it at a certain time, which will be tomorrow morning at between a certain time period. So today we're fasting from grains and beans for Ekadashi, but we're also fasting today for tomorrow. However, if you're going on Sankirtan and you need some energy and you want to take some breakfast, which is being made, you can do that. If you're going to preach, it's a higher principle to take prasadam for the energy to go to preach than it is to strictly observe the fast. So you have the choice. And there will also be lunches to take out with you so that you can feast when you get out there also. Okay, Venki.
We have seven sutras in all. The first one is get mercy, give mercy. Second is distribute in the mood of Lord Nityananda. Distribute to all jagais and madhais. And receive the sound vibration and pass it on. Fifth is have one-pointed attention. Be a goodwill ambassador is the sixth one. And last is approach as you like to be approached.
Pretty nice. We got something out of it. Let's give ourselves a hand. So we can we'll post these up. Let's somehow capture those on a, you know, digitally. It's analog now, right? We can catch those digitally, and we can we'll make a little signboard or put it up on our website or something like that. Okay, so yes, Mata. Really? It wasn't Srinivas, was it? Okay. They put it in the box?
Maybe it's in the check.
Well, if it wasn't Srinivas, then it was by his desire, probably. He's attracting these people. Well, that's good news to start off the Sankirtan marathon with. It's like we said, Krishna can come from any direction. The fact is, our position is just to serve Krishna. We do the yajna. And what we've heard from our acharyas, from our authorities, is that the yajna for this age is Sankirtan yajna. How that's been translated is, for us, particularly in our line here, is to, specifically literatures, is very powerful. It's been emphasized by our preceptors to get into these literatures, that they're very powerful for people to get. So that's what we're doing. And we'll do this yajna, and we'll just depend on Krishna for the results in every way. And as we continue to make the quality better in the yajna, Krishna will become more and more pleased. And he'll bless us individually with taste for hearing and chanting. He'll also give us more facility to spread the holy name. That's why we want facility. Any kind of facility we want, including temples or cars or machines or anything like that, it has to be infused with the desire to use it to broadcast the message all over the world. And the more we receive those things in that mood, the more they'll expand and they'll come on their own accord. They're not coming on their own accord. They're coming by the mercy of Lord Varaha, who will come drop a temple on our head as he's pleased with us. Not to crush us, but to, you know, facility. Thank you very much. Good news. Hare Krishna. So now we'll have the Guru Puja for Srila Prabhupada, and then everyone can head on out of here. Hopefully we can get out of the door here this morning by 11 o'clock and head for their spots. I'd also like to introduce everyone to Advaita Prabhu. He's here with the stocking cap on. Could you... There. This is Advaita Prabhu. He's come here. No one saw you. Everyone doesn't know who you are. This is Advaita. He's been a book distributor for many, many years. And he wanted to come and experience the monthly Sankirtan festival for himself today. So he's come to join our ranks to help out with Team ISV's goals today and help us distribute books. And so he's going to come out with us also today for book distribution. Advaita, thank you for coming. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sankirtan Yajna ki jai. Lord Varaha ki jai. Nityananda Prabhu monthly Sankirtan festival ki jai. Gopri Manande.